As early as 1972, an LCMS seminary professor saw a link between the slaughter of the Bethlehem babies and abortion in this country. And he didn't see how pastors could preach on the former without mentioning the latter. Concerned Women for America made that link in January 1993. I've had a Life Sunday now for 30 years, but I only made the direct link 5 years ago. The Latin collect appointed for Holy Innocents, which we use, dates to at least the 11th century, and it's a fitting prayer for Life Sunday. Put to death in us all that is in conflict with your will, we pray. May this lead to our seeing that this public, legalized sin is personally destroying each one of us. Stephen King writes of a land where every generation or so a tribe raids it and takes away one out of every pair of twins that most every couple has. They take them away to unknown horrors and send them back root, R-O-O-N-T. As the time for that next raid approaches, one father calls a town meeting and he asks them to consider, what is this doing to us? Each time they come and take our children, they take a little more of our hearts and souls. Just how much do you think is left of our hearts and souls after 60 million pieces have been taken from them over the last 46 years? Even Janis Joplin didn't really want to have another piece of her heart taken. Put to death in me, O Lord, the apathy I have toward this sin. How can the home of the brave be so apathetic about abortion? Abortion was legal in Russia from 1917 to 1956. In 1921, there were 21 abortions for every 100 births. By 1926, it had reached 90 out of 100 children were aborted. So how come a group of Russians was so shaken by the death of one more baby? It's 1941. Germany has invaded Russia. Russian partisans are trapped in swamps in water. Our radio operator was a woman who had recently given birth. It had to be nursed, but the mother herself was hungry and had no milk. The baby cried. If the dogs heard it, we'd all be killed. The whole group, 30 of us, you understand. The commander makes a decision. Nobody can bring himself to give the mother his order, but she figures it out for herself. She lowers the swaddled baby into the water and holds it there. The baby doesn't cry. And we can't raise our eyes neither to the mother nor to each other. After a generation and a half of baby killing, we're more apathetic than Russians. Put to death in me, O Lord, the convenient fiction that abortion is a social issue and a kingdom of the less issue, like gun control, Obamacare, tax rates, and border walls. In the King novel, the richest guy in town doesn't want to go to war to stop the baby snatchers, and he resents that the pastor dares to speak in favor of war. He thinks to himself, when he kept to his church and his rituals, he was fine. In such things, a little madness makes a fine sauce. This, however, was something different. In 2012, MSNBC can have a full-page ad in Time magazine displaying TV host Rachel Maddow saying, "We are not going to overturn Roe v. Wade." This year, the New York Times can run an 8-part series championing abortion rights. And this is responsible, unbiased journalism. I'm, however, a crazy pastor overstepping his calling, overreaching my area of concern when I speak on behalf of the dead babies and the women root by abortion. And you're kidding yourself if you don't see that the majority of our own church body feels the same way. At best, they take this position. I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I don't presume to speak for others. You may say that with political and social issues. You may personally be for building the wall or restricting guns and leave others to their own opinions. You may not do that with moral issues. Try saying, I'm personally opposed to child abuse, but I don't presume to speak for others. Supporting actively or passively abortion rights directly conflicts with the will of Almighty God. Now, our church body has said that officially in conventions, but start asking around. Ask pastors here and there and watch them hem and haw. Luther didn't. He branded abortion as godlessness and said aversion to one's offspring was inhuman and impious. Not very politic, huh? The pastors who hem and haw on abortion say to me what they do about the living together that I discipline and they don't. Abortion is the only sin to you, and it alone is unforgivable. First, abortion is not an us and them thing. Abortion is my sin. It's my guilt. Read the Old Testament. God holds the entire land guilty of the innocent blood shed in it. Second, if the ancient church thought the slaughter of 25 or so babies was worth commemorating each year, I don't think I'm overemphasizing 60 million dead U.S. babies by having a Remembrance Sunday once a year. And abortion almost always kills at least two people. Those who walk away from abortion do so as the living dead. Any day the zombie of abortion guilt may awake. Third, the only unforgivable sin in Scripture is unconfessed, unadmitted sin. It's not that Jesus didn't carry such a sin away. It's not that Jesus didn't shed his blood to cover them. It's that the person pulls them off the back of Jesus and out of the flood of his blood because denied sin isn't sin or guilt to them, and so doesn't belong there. The prayer for holy innocence, put to death in us all that is in conflict with your will, that's fitting for Life Sunday. And so is the prayer that our lives may bear witness to the faith we profess with our lips. Each Sunday we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Even in the case of sparrows, life is his choice, not ours. Among animals whose purpose is this life only, quality of life is certainly the proper consideration. But we've been created for eternal life. That's our purpose. And we've been created in God's image. So the eternal sanctity of human life, that's the standard rather than quality. God only knows, literally, the how, the who, and what that will serve his eternal purposes. You're trespassing on his turf and contradicting the faith you profess with your lips when you take human life for personal reasons. Nothing in this culture where self, personal choice, and randomness are sacrosanct will put to death in you the things that are contrary to the faith you profess. The fact you want to preserve your own life, well, that's no proof that you hold life sacred. It's what you think, say, and do about the life of another, particularly the most helpless of all, the unborn. And if you have bought into the evolutionary assumptions that man is the product of chance and time rather than created by God in his image, then taking life, well, that's just one action out of many. It is to be judged on pragmatic grounds. What are the benefits? What are the risks? What are the costs of killing or not killing this baby in the womb? You profess with your lips not only that God is the creator of life, but that God the Son has redeemed you, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. May we bear witness to this and to what 1 John 2:2 says, that Jesus is not only the wrath-removing sacrifice for your sins, but the sins of the whole world, the born, the unborn, the abortionists, and the women having abortions. A 20th century Catholic theologian said that only where God becomes person, namely in Christ, will anybody be treated as a person. And whereas the church always professed that happened, not when Jesus was born of Mary, but conceived in her. The 20th century LCMS professor I referred to earlier said that historically, the moment of genuflection in the Mass happened when the Son of Man entered the womb of Mary, not when he was born. And we leave it to a 4th century church father and a 16th century Lutheran father to flesh out our confession completely. Gregory of Nyssa said, "For that which he has not assumed, he has not healed. But that which is united to his Godhead is also saved." Martin Chemnitz completes the beautiful confession. "Thus the Son of God, in assuming his own flesh, but without sin, also endured those things which commonly befall men in conception, pregnancy, and birth. So that from his very beginning, rise, and as it were, root, he might first restore in himself our depraved nature, and so cleanse and sanctify our contaminated conception and birth, that we might know that Christ's salvation applies even to man's fetus in conception, gestation, and birth. We profess with these lips to believe in not only the God who creates and has redeemed all life, but who sanctifies all life. May my life bear witness to this faith, particularly the last. When we speak of sanctifying, we first think of God the Holy Spirit. Fittingly, when a group was formed in Rome about 1160 AD to care for the abandoned infants and so stop the great number of dead babies thrown into the Tiber River, it was called the Order of the Holy Spirit. I was surprised to learn some years ago that some of my leaders were bothered because they had no idea how to argue life issues. I was surprised because for the last 15 years, that's not what I thought I'd been preaching for anyone to do. I was preaching to get an ouch. Here's the illustration. A father is having a bad day. His five-year-old comes in crying, "Daddy, Daddy, I hurt my finger." "What do you want me to do about it?" the father snarls. The little girl pauses and says, "You could say, ouch." Start there. Start there, you who've been created by the hand of God. Start there, you've been redeemed by the blood of his Son. Start there, you who have the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit has sanctified for everlasting life. Start by saying, ouch. Ouch, our faith says, for sinners caught up in their sins. Ouch, our faith says, for the unborn murdered in the womb. Ouch, our faith says, for the hellbound world that God sent his only Son to redeem. And with every single Lord's Prayer, you are saying, ouch. Because we never ever change those us and our petitions into me and my ones. It's always, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Now that's a prayer, not only for everyday life, but for life Sunday. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.